This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, good morning. This is Frida Liu. It's Racia Game and Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting returns. Welcome back.
Hi, Frida.
And we've got a topic, a series happening, which is stressful employees in successful companies. And today we're talking about five ordinary reasons why corporate values fail. But before we get into that, we're just discussing stressful or stressed employees.
Thanks, Frida. I think it would be more on the stressful employees because most companies who are well known, they have a brand image, their share price is doing well, things look rosy on the outside, but on a day-to-day level, the managers and the leaders come face-to-face with stressful situations, stressful employees, and they try their very best to address this gap, you know, how to create a work culture that is more in line with the company values.
Okay, and you've got five ordinary reasons why corporate values fail.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into that.
Because why I wrote it as five ordinary reasons is because when managers and leaders realize that there is a disconnect, hey, this is what I preach in the company. I have my five core values up on the wall. But on a day-to-day basis, there's so much stress, conflict, people can't get along. You know, on the wall, it is written company number one. But at the counter, it is I am number one, and the customer ended up, you know, taking the short end of the stick. So there is a gap there.
Right.
And what happens is that managers and leaders then engage in a few series of steps to create a value-based culture. And my premise is the steps are good, but it is too ordinary. You need to do something extra to raise your game.
Oh, okay. So what's the first ordinary reason?
Well, the first ordinary reason is what I call strategic planning retreats.
They're nice.
They're nice. That's the trouble. Most leaders look at transforming the work culture on a year-to-year basis. And that's where it fails because we look at building a company culture on a sporadic basis, rather than by consistent engagement. That's why, although you spend three wonderful days and two nights in Phuket planning, you know, coming up with a five-year plan, and you return to the office with a load of flip charts, guess what? That's not going to change the culture of the company. There will still be a gap between values and day-to-day behavior. Not to say that the retreats are not important, but there's something more that you should do.
Okay, so a retreat should just be a retreat. and you know, maybe it's an incentive or whatever, but not to go for these things and to try to come up with values and all that during that period, perhaps.
I'm not undermining the value of having a retreat and strategic planning sessions. What I'm concerned about is what happens before the retreat. Strategic retreats fail for the simple reason that leaders are disengaged from their employees throughout the year. So if you are disengaged, you don't know the pain and the issues that your employees feel, and you turn up for the retreat, what happens is that managers start talking about their favorite hobby horse, you know, their favorite pet topics, which is not grounded in reality. So people leave the retreat feeling good.
For 3 days?
Yeah, but they don't feel the ground, you know. They feel good, but they don't feel the ground. They don't know what's going on.
So what, okay, then should we do?
Well, here's the practical tip. You know, before you plan for your next breakthrough strategic retreat, you know, my breakthrough plan for 2013 and beyond, spend some time right now to know your troops. Know your troops, you know, get to know their stress, their pain, their struggles, and their challenges. You know, this is the formula in creating a powerful work culture. Learn to connect your employees' core pain with your core values. If they can see a connection on how practicing the core values help them to address their pain and their challenges, and you engage with them on a consistent basis, then your strategic retreats would make more sense.
So it's a case of, you know, having your weekly, monthly, quarterly, but understanding your team a lot better and not just the 3 days to try to get to know them.
Yeah.
And so in that process, then it makes sense.
That's right. Because things happen gradually and then suddenly.
True. Okay. Ordinary reason number two.
Ordinary reason number two, why what you are doing to create a value-based culture is not enough, is that you are just having regular team meetings. Full stop.
Okay.
This is okay, but not sufficient.
But we're communicating.
Yeah, you are communicating. But most of the time, the communicating, it's one way. Okay, this is the decision of the management. This is what we are telling you to do. You better do it or else. Now, this type of communication is important. But what it does is that it sends forth instructions. But it doesn't inspire people to want to be a part of the culture. Mm. So what I would recommend managers and leaders to do, don't stop having your regular meetings. But in addition to regular team meetings, learn how to have individual conversations. There is a difference between conversation and communication.
Ah, okay. Sometimes it's difficult to have these difficult conversations too.
That's right. And we kind of, especially in the Asian culture, Freda, we assume that silence means consent. Just because I have spoken for half an hour, people don't raise their hands or ask questions. Hey, everything's cool, you know. But you don't realize that a lot of informal meetings take place.
In the staircase.
In the staircase, you know, at the watering hole, after you have spoken and after you have gone.
No, not at our watering hole because it's too open. We go to the staircase.
But that's where we need to be, you see. Right. We need to be there having regular conversations with them, because no corporate memo is going to change the way employee works unless we take time to personally have one-on-one conversations.
Okay, so what happens with these one-on-one conversations? And it's more important with high potential employees?
Well, it works both ways. Mm-hmm. High potential employees, you need to pay personal attention to them, have one-on-one conversations with them, find out what they're thinking, appreciate their ideas, appreciate their contribution. Where else with employees who do not perform, it would be also a one-on-one conversation, but it will be more instructional in nature. You need to spend time to coach them and to help them along. So it will be more action-oriented.
You know, and I think a lot of times people say, you know, that's that thing. I don't have time for these one-on-ones.
Yeah. You know, the thing is this. It's when it comes to relationships, when it comes to getting people to be a part of the culture, the mantra is this. Slow is fast, and fast is slow. Many times we in the name of getting things done, we want to move fast and we sweep people's feelings under the carpet. We don't spend time with them. Yes, they may follow your instructions, but they won't go the extra mile.
Because there's no buy-in.
But if you take time to go slow, listen to them, talk to them, have regular, you know, teh tarik with them, learn to pay attention to their needs. It might seem very slow in the beginning. Ayo, this is such a drag on my schedule. You know, half an hour with each employee once a week. I would rather go out and play golf. But the thing is, if you make these initial investments, the next time you need something to be done, when you say jump, they will say how high. Why? Because the investments have been made. And It takes time. Slow is fast.
Fast is slow.
Yeah.
We'll go through the other ordinary reasons in just a bit. Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting here in Race a Game, BFM 89.9. Good morning. It's Race a Game on Enterprise. In case you've just joined us, Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting is here. We have to get you back on Monday. Stressful Employees in Successful Companies is a series. And today, the topic is 5 Ordinary Reasons Why Corporate Values Fail. And the reasons are very ordinary. Ordinary reason number one is strategic planning retreats. They don't work if you just do this once a year.
That's right.
Although the holiday is nice.
Yeah.
The second one is regular team meetings. And you said to invest in one-on-one conversations.
There is a difference between communication and conversations.
And of course, it's stressful employees because, you know, we were saying that organizations that look good on the outside, but there are undercurrents happening.
Yeah.
What's ordinary reason number three?
Well, one of the things that managers try to do to build a value-based culture is to be nice. Is to be nice. Now, being nice, it might create some nice, fluffy feeling in the beginning, But being nice alone will not get you to that culture that you want to have, because the person in authority primarily has two important mandates. Number one is to reward those who do well. Now, that's being nice. Mm. But we kind of forget there's two sides of the coin. The yeah. other one is to reprimand those who do not.
I have a challenge.
And to do it immediately.
Mm. Okay. So what happens when you don't do it immediately?
When you delay in reprimanding the underperformer, what happens is that a negative message is sent to those who do comply. Because you've got to realize, Freda, for everyone that do not comply, there are those that do comply. You see, and if those that do comply and they toe the line and they look at the manager and say that, hey, you are not taking action when the others don't comply, you know the type of feelings that they would have?
Yeah.
They would feel insecure. They would
resentful.
Feel, they will feel resentful that heaven got no eyes, you know. And worse still, it can even lead on to hypocrisy. They sense a double standard. You know, you're not taking action when something goes wrong. And hypocrisy is the root cause of team morale.
Okay, so what can you do?
Well, the thing to do, the first step is in terms of timing. When you see that there is a non-conformance, when people do not perform, take action immediately. Have that conversation immediately. Because what happens is when leaders do not uphold high standards, they get what they tolerate.
Okay, so it's immediately and daily if you need to.
Yeah, so that means in order to be a manager who raises your game in the workplace to address this gap between values and day-to-day behavior, you must be comfortable with both recognizing and reprimanding your employees. Don't wait until the appraisal.
Hmm.
Because by the time the appraisal comes, it actually confirms what has been happening.
You know, I think one of the things with managers is that they find it very difficult to reprimand.
Yeah.
Right? Any thoughts around that? I think it gets more difficult when it's delayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's when you see something is not right, it needs to be addressed, yeah. and then hound the person if you need to, in the early stages rather
that's
than let it build up.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, one of the difficulties as well is when there's friendship. And then there, you know how, you know, because you want to be a nice person. So there's friendship and then there's work as well. You know, and I think a lot of people also have a problem drawing that line. Mm.
This could be an archaic word, Freda, but instead of using the word nice, I'd rather use the word righteous. You know, learn to do what's right because it's right to do what's right. And sometimes it may mean that certain people might get offended. You might not be popular.
Ah.
You might not be called to go to McDonald's for lunch anymore by that favorite group.
It's a bit like politics.
Yeah, it's a bit like politics. But what's important is that you must be at peace with yourself, because at the end of the day, you are accountable, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're accountable to your boss. So you get what you tolerate. If you tolerate underperformance, it's going to sneak up on you and hit you from behind sooner or later.
So it's going to be well in the soul.
Yeah.
Ordinary reason number four.
That's right. Well, reason number four, this is a quick fix. When you see that things are not going well, people are causing you stress and they are not following the core values, is to create more policies. You know, you come up with a nice looking handbook, you come up with the Ten Commandments, and hopefully if it's printed, emailed, distributed, the culture will change, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you and I know that is only cosmetic in nature.
So, okay, what can you do?
Well, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have policies.
Of course.
But while policies spell out the boundaries, it doesn't have that inspirational effect. Because when you want people to toe the line, to put customer first, to be more responsible, to be more accountable, this is the rule to remember. Matters of value and character is more caught than taught.
Okay.
So I had a branch manager in my training once who wanted to instill the value of punctuality. So instead of preaching about it or coming up with a 10-page manual on how to sleep early and wake up, he makes sure that he turns up for work earlier than everybody else, and he came up with an attendance board, and his name is number one, you know. And anyone who reports to work subsequently always see a tick next to the manager's name. And after about 3 to 4 months, people kind of got the idea, and that really changed the environment of the company. Yeah.
Okay, so actions definitely speak louder than words.
That's right. So my advice is, before you want to set any rule or policy, try to practice it yourself first, consistently, so that when the rule is set, they see the rule as a confirmation of what is already happening. They don't see the rule as a complete opposite to what you are already doing. So that sometimes rule can have a backlash, you see. So make sure you practice it first. Once it is confirmed, make it into a rule.
Okay, the final reason.
The final reason, well, this may ruffle some feathers a bit.
As if they're not ruffled already.
Team building programs. Okay, team building programs. You know, team building programs are a lot of great fun. You know, whenever companies want to instill a certain value, they organize team building programs. I mean, while it creates a lot of energy and enthusiasm, but it rarely addresses the one vital principle necessary to connect values with behavior. And this is the one vital principle that is missing. People follow those whom they admire. People follow those whom they admire. Because once the team building program is over, you are still faced with the same boss. You know, once the team building is over, you are still faced with the same colleagues. So many times people have trouble dragging their feet to work is because they are going to face people whom they don't look up to, whom they don't admire. So my advice to my clients is this: if you want to do a team building program, make sure you do a program for the managers first. Make sure they know what the team building is all about. Make sure they have follow-up actions to take. They know what happens after the team building, so that when the employees return after spending 3 days, 2 nights in Cherating, they will see an inspirational leader worth following.
Okay, so what you do is you sit down with them. I mean, what's the process then?
The process is this: when it comes to this fifth reason, before you plan for any team building program, make sure that it's a leadership training that takes place first, because it is the vital leadership skills, like resolving conflicts, how to hold courageous conversations, how to coach people for excellence. These are the vital skills that must be built within the leadership team first. Then you have the team building.
Right.
Because once the people come back from team building, they're all inspired to change, but there's no people to help them along the way.
So the leadership team goes to Cherating first.
Yes, they must go to Cherating first, and they must learn how to get their act together first.
Then
the troops come along, and then you have follow-up, you see. And that's what practicing values is all about. It's follow-up. It's a day-to-day, you know, discipline rather than a year-to-year event.
All right. Five ordinary reasons why corporate values fail in our Stressful Employees and Successful Companies series. What are you talking about next week?
Well, next week I'll be talking about the one failure that managers, the one main failure of managers when it comes to not being able to create value in the workplace.
Okay.
The one major failure.
And the one thing you'll have to find out next week.
That's right.
Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Tomorrow, Raise Your Game, Action Coach Jeevan Sahadevan in the penultimate episode on his Personal Effectiveness series in Season 1, 2012. And tomorrow is about problem solving. And we have Eric Clapton with Bad Love up next, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.